I remember seeing that.
That's been a while. That's been, I told everyone it was, been about 4.5 months since we've been here. I was like, we're missing you guys.
Can mine be turned down a little bit?
Your headphones or double
down? Yes, please. A little up. And that's
to
good.
To the right.
Right. Oh, check.
Stop. Let me drive.
This is Christian from Metropolis America, and you are listening to Comic Pop Library.
I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's surely the moment that I don't wanna miss. And what I'm trying to say, well, I don't know, but I thought it was important just a minute ago. What I'm dying to say can't even be bought, cause I lost my ticket on the train of thought.
Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard along with
April,
Matt, Chris.
And it's been a while. April's used to going first.
I had to get it in there.
Well, it's with a regular crew. We've been on a little bit of a hiatus and we're back now. So thank you all for listening to our shorter podcast we've been putting up, and we're still going to be doing those along with the regular hour podcast as well. And we are going to take a small break for Dodge City Public Library, I believe, at this time, and we'll be right back.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. As we understand, there might be some fans of nonfiction materials in CPL land, so why not head over to www.dcpl.info and check out our podcasts. We have the nonfiction fix you've been looking for. Every month, Michael, our public service librarian, and I review a nonfiction book or other item for you to consider reading or adding to your collection. So, if you love the land of black and white informative materials, head on over and check us out. By the way, Michael thinks he's a different fictional character in every episode. No guessing what he'll be next month.
And we are back, and today we are going to be looking at Tokyo Heist by Diane Rehn and Jonah Hex, Face Full of Violence by Jimmy Palomito, Justin Gray, and Luke Ross. And it is by Vertigo Press from the DC Comics. I believe it's Vertigo. Or is it just a regular DC imprint? Oh, it's a regular DC imprint.
Yep, DC.
So we'll be looking at those two items, and we'll be starting off with Tokyo Heist first. And let me dig out my notes, by golly. And this is one where, through all the mishmash, even though we've been gone for a while, it's been lost in the shuffle. I'm pretty much the only one that read this one.
I think so.
Logan tried, and it got lost in his room, so April didn't get a chance. But this is published in 2010 by Speak, which is part of the Penguin Group. That's a trade paperback, and it cost $8.99. And again, this is Tokyo Heist by Diane Rehn. And just to give some of the characters, and then we'll get into the main story. We have Violet Rossi, who's also a Kamino girl. She's 16 years old and loves everything Japanese, but doesn't consider herself an otaku, which is...
That's bullcrap.
Which is basically a fan of the anime and the manga.
And the Japanese lifestyle.
True. And... she does writing and drawing under the pseudonym Kamino Girl. So that's why she's called Kamino Girl. We have Glenn Markbord, I believe it is. And he's Violet's dad, who is an aspiring artist. We have Margot Weiss, who is a gallery owner that's showing her father's, who is Glenn's, work. We have Edgerton Downey. He has a crush on Edgar. So she would like to be boyfriend and girlfriend with him, but so far they have not hooked up. And he's a film buff, and this story basically takes place over summer vacation, and he's at film camp. Rika is in
film
Tokyo.
Camp?
Yes.
Go what figure. Is this book about?
I'm going to guess we'll something about a heist.
Yes, it's about a heist. Rika is another character. She's in Tokyo with her aunt and uncle. She is actually in Egerton's and Violet's class, but... Her family is from Japan, so she actually is in Japan. Coincidence, coincidence. We also have Kingo Yamada, who's a retiring construction CEO from Japan. Mitsui Yamada, who is Kinji's wife. And they've had, and this is the gist of the story, had some Van Gogh stolen while in Seattle. And they were being conserved by Mitsui's curator service for art museums. And then we also have Sky Connolly. It's another conservator that works for the Yamadas on the Van Goghs, and she's the prime suspect. And then we have Hidekai Yamada, who is the nephew of Kinji. But the base of this is there's a painting of Van Gogh that's been undiscovered called The Three Bridges, and this is one that I believe that's just inspirational. It's not an actual work of Van Gogh's. They just said that, you know, to get the storyline going, this has been a previously undiscovered Van Gogh.
Did you know his name is Gogh is pronounced Goff?
Goff? Okay.
Van Gogh.
Then why do we always say Van Gogh?
Because we're American.
Okay.
Okay.
Keep going.
And
sorry.
This useless fact brought to you by April.
I just learned that today. So I was like, oh.
But the Van Gogh, since I'm American, I'll use Van Gogh, was inspired by Ando Hiroshige's woodblock print, The Moon Crossing Bridge at Arashiyama. And the Yamadas were going to loan this to an Asian art museum in Seattle after it was conserved. And, of course, it gets stolen, and they believe that Glenn's father has his house broken into, so for some reason, don't know why, looking for this painting. But the Yamadas have contracted Glenn to go over to work in one of their office buildings to do a mural. And it's going to be of the mural.
Mural.
We've got a grammar Nazi over here.
That's because Muriel is a name.
Sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
And I knew what he meant.
It's going to be the inspiration is the Three Bridges as well. And when they get over to Japan, of course, everything is looked at as, you know, they have some FBI agents that come into the picture and say, we can't actually investigate over here. But, of course, Violet takes it upon herself to start looking into the matter, kind of like a Nancy Drew type story. And it just all the coincidences are happening that she's in Japan, so she can hook up with her other friend that's in Japan, and they start investigating all the different avenues of where this painting might be, who might have stole it.
So are they the ones that find it and everything? And
eventually.
Okay.
No, that's book two.
It's weird. It's weird flipping through this and, oh my goodness, and seeing words like, I got to flip back to it. and seeing words like, then I continue my X-Men restock. And you got Sailor Moon.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that. She works at a comic shop.
We memorized Kiki's. We memorized Kiki's delivery service. Like, it's
that would explain the X-Men and Sailor Moon comment.
Nobody, yeah, Sailor Moon. Nobody ever writes about a nerd.
Until now.
If you think about it, it's true. Usually, characters are very generic. Even when they're special, they're very generic. So it's nice seeing things I recognize.
So what are you saying?
Big Bang Mystery.
Nerd?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I don't mind.
Aren't we all here?
I mean, I'm a geek.
Oh, you're a geek? Okay.
I feel like I'm on the line between a geek and a nerd.
Okay.
Chris is keeping quiet. He doesn't even want to incriminate himself.
Chris don't even care right now. Chris, talk. No? Okay.
So this all happens in Japan?
The very first third of the book probably happens in Seattle, then the rest of it's in Japan.
Okay. And I was confused. You said the painting was brought to Seattle?
It was brought to Seattle
and then brought
and
back
was stolen
to Japan illegally.
They took their they don't actually know where it's at. But
okay.
And they're just guessing or that if they're not guessing. The police don't guess. They are theorizing that, you know, that it went back to Japan somehow, some way.
Oh, come on, Chris. No.
Chris, come on. I won't stop this time. Did you know they got cars now? I think.
Yeah, Japan's had cars for a while.
Honda. I think Honda's coming out with it. Don't dig me on that, though. That's coming out with the first car that'll drive itself.
Oh, they've been experimenting with that for years.
This is what leads to Terminators.
No, that was Skynet.
Skynet.
This is what's going to lead to Skynet, it's leading to Terminators.
So, okay, so some of it happened in Seattle, but most of it happens over...
In Japan.
In Japan, where they are trying to figure out where this painting was stolen.
And Egerton, the crush that she has, is not really in the book that much except for in the background, because she's always like, oh, boo-hoo, I can't see Egerton, or she gets upset because he's not paying
attention. That's really petty.
So...
How old is this chick?
I think they're roughly in 15, 16 years of age.
What is she doing in Japan at 16?
She's spending the summer with her father, and her father's going over to paint the
mural. Oh, he's... Okay, that's the father. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought she'd Nancy Drew'd her butt over there.
Yeah. Well, she kind of did with the story, because it is a Nancy Drew story, basically.
you see how it is. 16-year-old women are evil.
But this one was easy to read. Diane Rien, the characters are interesting. This is one that your general reader might not get into because it is heavy with Japanese manga, anime, comic book references. Because
it's not generic. Because it's unique.
Right. But for the people that are into that, this would be a novel for them. Say, you'll like this.
It's kind of surreal.
And I think if other kids would read it, you're not going to get the jocks or the popular kids probably to read it that much unless just happen to be into that.
You know what?
What?
In math today, I sit by Tyler, who's a jock, and we were working on math and everything, and he turns to me towards the end, and he's like, do you watch anime? I was like, do I? Why are you watching it? It was so cool. You know, we had a great discussion over it, and I was like, oh my goodness, I thought I was alone.
Is this kind of a mystery?
Yes.
So especially, it is kind of a... It's so a mystery theory. Reader might like it too?
They would, but unless...
They wouldn't get the anime references, right. So they might lose some of it there, but...
But I don't think that's important to the mystery story.
It's like who stole the painting, basically, and where is it?
Okay.
And that's the gist of the book.
Looking at this, I would think Tokyo Heist. Excuse me. It looks like either like a Fast and Furious type deal...
From the cover,
the cover, true.
Yeah, or like a really heavy game.
See, don't judge a book by its cover.
I never got to judge it from the inside because Logan lost it.
True.
What, you found it?
I didn't find it.
No, I had to get it from him.
Dad found it.
Give me back that book. What book?
Is that a goal? Oh, we need to put it in the library. But this is one... I shouldn't just put a blanket statement that the popular jocks wouldn't get into it. Because if, you know, there are going to be your pocket sections of that clique in your high schools that probably would enjoy it. Because I did sports, I did vocal, but I still enjoyed the comic books and the manga and stuff.
Well, it sounds like anybody that's kind of likes mysteries would find it. I think he was tired of his chair squeaking.
Literally. Chris hasn't said one thing, and that's how he decides to make an entrance.
Bye. He's going to have to talk here in a minute when we do the book. When we do
Jonah Hex.
He's just going to point.
He's getting ready.
He's going to point, do charades to get us to tell what's going on. That's what it is. But so anybody that likes a mystery would enjoy it.
They would. And like I said, it's written easy enough. I think I would say 12 and up would be able to handle it no problem. There's no questionable type scenes in it, so that's no problem either for schools if they wanted to put it in within their library. And it's written at a pace where it's not boring, and the chapters are fairly short, so it clips along pretty good.
Pretty quick. Good. No.
It has two parts.
I believe so. I can't remember.
No, it does.
It does? Okay.
I'm flipping through it right now, Dad. Right now, I know more.
No, she doesn't.
Give us more, then.
No.
But that's pretty much
There's
it.
There's three parts.
Three parts. Oh. We have an update.
I just saw
breaking
the part
news.
Three,
three parts of Tokyo Heist.
Those are chapters.
No. It's like the very last one, like second to last page. Chapter 3.
And this one might be another one where I didn't mention earlier. If you had a reluctant reader that you started out on comic books or manga, this might be something to give them to introduce them to a book. and it would have stuff in it that they would be interested in to read it.
Oh, so Kimono Girl is mentioned. Did you know on picture day, my science teacher, well, not mine, but a science teacher, passed me by and he's like, how you doing, Brookman? Did you go break the camera yet? And then I like died inside.
Died a little inside. Okay, I think it's Chris's turn now.
Yes, I am here now. There is proof.
Do you need to leave to go do something?
No.
Nah.
No.
So I think we'll end off there with Tokyo Heist. I think high schools be well off by purchasing it. Any libraries, no problem at all. Steer your reluctant readers that are into the comic book and manga culture. They'd enjoy it. The mysteries, people that like mysteries, they'll enjoy it as well because it's one of those mystery, not a murder mystery, but a theft mystery. But we'll be right back after these short messages.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Peter Pixie, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
We'd like to thank the musicalley.com for our intro and outro, Andrew Loveman's Train of Thought. If you're interested in some of the indie music, you can go to their website, look around, see what you find. They have all types of genres, 99 cents a download. So if you're interested, be sure to pay them a visit and see what you can find. Back, and this time we're going to be looking at Jonah Hex, Face Full of Violence, I believe it was. And we're going to let Mr. Chris.
Hey, there's a mini Wolverine.
Actually, it's a kid.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God.
And he kills that pit bull.
That's probably the cutest.
It made me mad.
Well, that picture is like my favorite picture of the whole deal. Not the pit bull dying, but him and his like fighting stance. I was like, that kid's BA.
Okay, so from the writers of Jim Palmiotti and Justin Gray, with artist Luke Ross, comes Jonah Hex. And this is one of those well-developed characters that you just have to know. DC Comics did a really good job with picking up these guys and picking up this. I don't know if they were developed under DC Comics and then they were picked up by the company, or if Jonah Hex was actually born from DC Comics.
He's actual...
So,
excuse me, he's actually a DC comic character. They did come up with him.
If you go and look at the Wikipedia page and look up the comic, not the movie, look up Jonah Hex comic, not Jonah Hex movie. So, they have basically from birth, does he die?
I'm not sure.
That's a question he doesn't, for you.
He's close to death. I don't think he actually dies. And I think that's where he gets his kind of super...
No, he doesn't die.
He doesn't have them.
Okay, so anyway, he does not die. He surfaces in 2010 in the Black Lantern Corps.
So does he have supernatural powers? I didn't think he did.
Yes. Well, we're not going to get into that because that's not in this comic.
Yeah, it's not in this comic. And that's what you were saying about a well-developed Jonah Hex and knowing kind of Jonah
If he
Hex.
Can live for 100 years, then yes, he's got superpower.
Well, I didn't know he'd been living for 100 years.
I just told you.
He was...
Okay. He resurfaces in 2010 in the Black Lantern Corps.
From what... Where did he go under surface?
Go look at the Wikipedia page. For now, our review is just going to focus on this graphic novel.
Okay.
Okay? Okay. So, anyway... This graphic novel is basically a bounty hunt after bounty hunt after bounty hunt. In the very short stories, it keeps you interested all the way through. It's action-packed, not really gory, except for when they scalp the guy in one of them. But they don't show the gore.
No.
But they show him cutting.
They show
cutting.
Before and after the gore.
So, but basically he goes after these, he helps rescue the innocent from being killed most of the time.
Yeah.
What do they call those vigilantes? Not really vigilante, but.
I compared him to the Punisher.
Kind of, yes.
I'm not familiar with the Punisher.
Oh my goodness.
I know who he is, but I'm not familiar with the comic. And no, I'm not going to watch the movie.
Basically a vigilante that goes after criminals.
He's kind of
corrupt.
Right.
Corrupt sheriffs is in one of them, a corrupt right. mayor in another one. But usually Jonah Hex goes, and usually he kind of puts him to death in a cruel way.
He's not a pleasant man.
No, he's not. He's a lot of anger issues.
I like him a lot.
There's how do I want to say
and
this?
And he has his own set he has a code.
He has a good reason for his
it's not a very nice code.
Background. Let me tell you this, just to give you just a tiny bit of background here. At the age of 13, he was sold off to the Apaches as a slave.
Yep, by his father, if I remember right.
Yeah. So if it starts off as him being an unwanted child, in a sense.
And he has to grow up in that harsh environment and survive. I mean, they didn't treat him nice because he was
right.
not of their tribe, but he, I can't remember, and again, that's backstory, but
yep.
he does survive. He does join the Confederate Army, and that's where he gets his face all messed up, was yep. in the Civil War.
Yeah, I haven't mentioned that yet. His he's got this gaping hole in his right cheek that is held together by a little bit of scar tissue.
Yeah, that holds his jaw.
Which I'm trying to figure out why he just doesn't cut and be the Joker on the right side, you know, like Two-Face or something.
I think... Well, I don't know.
That's a good analogy, actually.
Joker, Two-Face.
Except for not the split personality.
No, he doesn't have the split personality.
I like
He's
him.
He's just mean.
Well, but...
And part of it's the intimidation factor, I think.
It's not really that he's mean. It's just he's been around a long time. He's very bitter, I will say that.
Yeah, I don't think he's mean either. I think he's just got a crude way of talking and a mean way of talking. So he comes right. off yeah. as mean without, but he's not.
Yep. It's just a guy down on his luck, and he never gets ahead.
That's typical Jonah Hex kind of yep. story.
So
back to the comic.
If you
graphic novel.
The funny thing is that, well, here, I'll give you an example of how cruel some of his punishments were. This guy who owns a dogfighting ring.
That was my favorite.
I guess somehow ends up with this kid. It doesn't say if he's kidnapped, but you assume he is there against his will. And this kid's dad puts a bounty on him, and Jonah Hex shows up and says, "Hey, go get my kid." Well, he goes to this dogfighting ring. Now, it never really says if he did this investigation, but I take that back.
Wow.
Sorry.
We're all having
this
bad thing.
Okay. Right. So his dad kind of leads him, this kid's dad leads Jonah Hex to where he might be. Mm-hmm. So he shows up over there and kind of talks with the guys a little bit, and they don't really depict it real well, but you can tell by the words he's using that the ringleader of this thing is a little bit nervous to see Jonah Hex. He's acting friendly, but he's putting kids against dogs, which is probably socially unacceptable, even in Jonah Hex's world. So he could tell right away that something was... you know, going on. He knew probably that Jonah Hex was going to show up looking for this kid because he dyes his hair brown.
Yep.
One of the features of this kid is that he's got red hair and sort of hazel eyes.
Blue eyes.
Was it blue or okay?
Blue. I just read it today.
Different bright colored eyes.
Yes.
So this guy dyes his hair brown. So yeah, who cares, right? So. He dyes his hair brown to kind of hide the kid from Jonah Hex. So anyway,
keep going.
Help me out.
He goes into the tent afterwards and questions the.
Yeah,
he questioned him, and then the ringleader dude sent his men to kill Jonah.
That's right. Yep. And then of course they screwed up. The bad guy's man's always screwed up.
Of course.
And then so he goes back.
That's why they're not the boss.
And gets the ring later. And then you show the next... Anyway, how he punishes the ringleader is that he takes a bucket of pig's blood, throws it on him, and then lets his dogs go on him.
Yep.
Kind of gruesome.
It's my favorite punishment in this comic.
Yeah, that's about normal for Jonah.
And
yeah.
Basically, before that, the child actually has rabies.
Yeah.
He discovers the child. Sick. He has rabies. And he actually smothers the kid just so he doesn't go through a miserable death.
Because he had only a day to live, but it was so crappy.
I was going
to
tell him the whole story. But.
Well, they can read others. But the fun part of this was the doctor, after he threw the pig's blood on, says, he's eaten, and it just stops.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another
thing.
Leave
it to your own imagination what the dogs might be eating.
Throughout the whole comic and all the little mini stories, I really like the sense of humor.
There is at the very end of each one of those little mini stories, if you will, there is something that makes you kind of go, huh?
It's funny,
you know, at the end of it.
And I guess if crude dark humor ain't your thing, you're not gonna like it. But it made me chuckle quite a bit.
Well, you said there is humor in kind of if you're reading it into the book a little bit. Some of the comments and things of that stuff. So it is funny at times.
And I kind of look at it as a spaghetti western, like an old Clint Eastwood movie, but more violent. If it showed everything, I mean, it would, because you know Clint Eastwood was shooting everybody left and right. Jonah Hex is pretty much shooting everybody left and right that he deems needs it, basically. And I'm not a big. And this takes place back in the 1800s. I think we kind of gave a false illusion that.
He was born in 1838, right. And this book takes place in the 1870s.
Right, so it's not he's not in our time period. He's back in the
Around
Old
the
West.
He's in his 40s.
But he could be in our time period, but not to this graphic novel.
Right, and I am not a big fan of Westerns, but I am a fan of the Vigilante comics. That is one of mine. I love The Punisher. I love the Executioner book series. So this fell right into line with those type of books. And even though it was Western, I loved it.
I loved it, too.
I said, weren't most of Jonah's stuff Western?
Most of it, yes.
I was going to say, most of the previous stuff has been Western-based, I guess.
And the previous series, which was, I think, back in the 70s, 80s, it started out in the Old West, then he time-traveled to the future. And then in this series, it's back in the Old West, and Chris mentioned the Black Lanterns, which basically they raised people from the dead. So they raised Jonah from the grave to live again. So, and then, of course, now all that's kind of disappeared with the new 52.
Right.
So,
well, but revamping this, the comics is
that's pretty normal.
Actually, he's risen. The Black Lanterns raise him from the dead. That's how he ends up into
what he said.
Okay, sorry. I was reading when he was talking.
That's all
right. Just said that. But thank you for reaffirming that.
Well, you said he traveled to the future, and that was the part that confused me. That's why I turned around to read the
previous
was
series.
In the 70s and 80s. He started out in Old West, then he time traveled to the future. So there's been several different incarnations, and that's where you get he's lived so long. And so there, and then not like we said right now, it's been revamped again, and I haven't read his current series, which is All-Star Western, so I'm not sure what the current rendition of Jonah Hex is, to be honest.
Does he look like a zombie, or does he?
I haven't read him.
Full
really
flesh
know.
And blood now.
No, he's still got the scar, because that's probably, what makes him Jonah.
Yep, and he's flesh and blood. They basically are putting it in a time frame where they're around Gotham
cool
City.
It'd be cool if he was a zombie, though.
They've tied it to the Batman mythos.
He is a zombie. He just don't look like
it.
He's
in the past Gotham City of the Old West.
That's awesome.
That's kind of his base of operations, and then he does his stuff out, you know, he'll go, I'm not sure if he's still a bounty hunter or not, but his base of operations is Gotham.
I think that's kind of, all of Jonah Hex is pretty much the bounty hunter.
Most of it. But I'm assuming that's the way it is.
Yeah, that's kind of part of his character.
But back to this specific comic. That we're reviewing. The artwork I really enjoyed in it as well. Except for... Because it's all very clean and nice to look at, you know?
True.
Except for...
the Christmas
story? One of the last stories. And I don't know what they did, but I didn't enjoy it.
I think it was the Christmas story. Yeah, it's the Christmas story that was in there. They made it really... I don't know what you would call that. You're more of an artist Monet. Than I am. I don't know. It's kind of grungy looking.
It is.
Dirty looking.
And it's very hard to see.
It's also the longest story that's in this graphic novel, the Christmas story.
And it's hard to look at. I mean, I can't, you know, it's hard to differentiate what things are because it's so muddled with scratches.
I think they were experimenting with the details of horror.
Oh, yeah.
The genre horror.
This, what is...
So trying to add as much detail as possible, but it turned out to be more trashy than it did...
Horror, scary.
Scary.
I guess. Yeah, I wasn't feeling that. But they switched back...
For the next one, yeah.
To the artwork, yeah.
Maybe it's just that particular story...
That they were trying it out on?
Yeah, they tried something different. I don't know.
Yep.
And this is one... It's a finite series. I think there's about... 6 to 8 volumes of the collected editions. And this is one, if you have people that like Westerns or could possibly want them to experience the graphic novels, this would be a way. If they like Clint Eastwood type movies, this would probably interest them and possibly get a different audience within your graphic novels. I don't know if I would put it in a school library, though.
Yeah,
I wouldn't.
Even though there's graphic. Really nothing there, it's... A lot of the implications.
It's, yeah,
you know what's going to happen. You
it's
know what's
it's not
happened.
Above a teenager's reading level. You know, I think a teenager would be able to read this fine, but I think parents of the teenagers would not like to see it in a school setting. There is going to be that one that's like, got to stick their nose in everything and get all prissy about it.
It does have a lot of violence. I mean, that's...
That's the nature of the
character. Yeah, it's the nature of the character, you know, in the book. And, you know, like you said, referring to the Punisher, duh.
I tell you
it's
what.
The same thing, you know, but that's more aligned.
In the Old West.
Yeah, in the Old West. Anything in the Old West is, well.
It's gritty, dirty.
Yeah, and I kind of go back and forth on if I want him to have a sidekick or not. Not sidekick per se, but just a companion that rides along with him.
Nope.
I know.
That
well,
would be anti-Jonah Hex.
I know it would be, and that's why...
He does have... In each story, he has someone tailing him.
Yeah, but they don't continue through, is what I'm saying.
Right.
And that's why... That's where I...
He has a different sidekick for every story.
Yeah, because, like, in this specific one, if I get to the title page of it, which I might not, Batlash...
Oh, yeah, he's in one of them.
He's got the hat with the flower in it. And everything, yep. And
he's the only one that asked for a cut of his bounty.
Yeah, he's
and lived.
He's my favorite. Well, he's my favorite character in here, and like, see, I can see Batlash and Jonah tailing together, you know. But then also, like you said, it's not Jonah, so it's like, oh, I know it's not right, but it should be because I really wish it would be.
They have a few characters that kind of wander in and out again in future issues. So it's not constant, though.
Yeah. One thing about Jonah Hex is that he's sort of legendary in the West, down in Arizona, New Mexico area. So everybody knows of Jonah Hex somehow, either by stories or by interacting with him, which I'm sure most of those people are just glad to hear the stories and not have to meet him.
True. So, yeah, because everyone in the book, when he says, I'm Hex, and they're like, Oh God, okay.
You're not here to see me, right?
Yeah, terrified. Like, oh God.
Don't sleep with him. Almost every lady that sleeps with him ends up dead.
Well, that's true. One thing I'm trying to figure out is that he rescues a woman after she is burned at the stake.
She did.
And looks very much like him, but an Apache kills her. I didn't get through that story. That's definitely one I'm going
to
have to keep reading into.
I got too lazy. I need to lean back. Oh, I'm so tired.
So,
for those that aren't watching us,
wait.
April is now laying on the floor.
I am not. But I would.
She would if she could. And she even has the comfy chair.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the problem.
If we hear snoring, we may have to smack her. So, you're thinking anything but a school library, it's a good one to have.
Yeah.
Good for your collection.
Public library can have it, but keep it in.
Why not high school?
Teen collection.
A high school? I wouldn't put it in.
I don't think they'd want to mess with it.
Because they throw a fit.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how the schools pick out or censor, if you will.
If this was a regular Western book, it'd probably be no
problem. It has
but since
too much,
it
too
has
much
the imagery, it's more susceptible to challenges.
It implies a lot of violence, and schools don't like that. Parents don't like that.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Because I know in my school, you know, I could see a lot of parents raising a fuss over it.
But it's been no problem in the public library. So, yeah. So you'll just have to use your own judgment. I say it's good for a public library. Just make sure it's in the teen collection, not in the child's section or children's section.
They got to learn.
It should be in the graphic novel section.
Yes.
Yes, because it's a graphic novel.
Or whatever section you have your graphic novel in, if it's combined, separate, however you want
it. I guess if that's it, we can call it and say pick up Tokyo Heist. I think that'll be a good one. Jonah Hex for public libraries, I think, would be a good one as well.
I got to tell you something.
Okay. You can tell us after we're done.
It's about Jonah Hex.
Oh.
Jeez.
Okay. I thought we were done.
So did I.
I was taking a drink.
Okay.
So I was distracted.
You're on the clock.
I got to find it. Lord almighty. This. Okay. No.
Not okay.
No, not okay. Okay. Maybe
captivating.
Okay.
This is so
well,
captivating.
Well, the pages are thin, so I keep missing my page.
What you got?
On one of the stories, it involves a husband and wife, and the wife is sick, you know, and all that, and they come into town with Jonah, and before it shows that the wife is really sick, and the husband's even carrying her outside, you know, she's so sick she can't walk on her own hardly. And then on like a page or two later, there they are sitting beside each other, not covered up in the pouring rain. And I was like, oh, that's good for her.
That's what it was back then.
She ain't going to die
She's
now.
She's nitpicking now.
Really? I'm sorry. It's just like what I thought of, and I was like,
Even if she got into the cover of the covered wagon, it'd probably still be seeping through with rain.
So
with that
exactly.
And I was just like, my common sense, Belle. I was like, dang, what? Lord.
But I think that's going to be pretty much wrapping it up. We've been having fun here. Hope everybody's been having fun out there. We'll catch everybody on the next go-around.
Bye.
Bye.
What?
I'm not going to say it.
Oh, well, I didn't.
Fine, be that way.
I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's surely the moment that I don't wanna miss. And what I'm trying to say, well, I don't know, but I thought it was important just a minute ago. What I'm dying to say can't even be bought, cause I lost my ticket on the train of thought.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.